huge show, especially if you're a Bieber dad.
Oh, how fun was that? And some mums who actually went and enjoyed it.
Yeah, yes. That's fun. But it was serious at the same time, the show, when we talked about tradies. They're almost disappearing.
It was quite interesting, and you guys made the point that they'll end up being paid more than doctors because there's so few, 45% less apprentices in the last couple of years. There was plenty there. And also, get ready to be frightened or inspired, whichever way you look at it, because Ross Greenwood came on to tell us exactly how much... I know. How much money you're going to need in super. I know you don't want to hear it, but you're going to have to. It's good for you to listen to.
Yes, indeed. Promise to give you anxiety. Plus, the PM, Rich Uncle Mal, going to join us as well. Enjoy the catch-up.
Such a treat. Every week he makes time to speak to us. Rich Uncle Mal, the PM, live from Canberra. Good morning, sir.
Good morning to you, and hello to everyone in Brisbane this morning. Good morning, Marto, Ed, and of course, Robin.
Thank you, sir. Lovely to talk to you.
It is lovely to speak to you, but, mate, let's be honest, the WA election was a debacle for you.
What happened in WA was a debacle, and I blame preferencing One Nation. That was a toxic relationship, like Sonny and Cher. Does anyone remember Sonny and Cher?
Oh, yes.
Sonny, he died skiing. That's got nothing to do with Western Australia, of course. when you do a deal like that, One Nation's policies have to come under scrutiny. They are anti-vaxxers. I remember a time when polio was very popular. There was limping children all over the place. Let's go back there, shall we, Pauline? Why are they so angry about religion? That's what they do. They profile people based on religion. Yeah. I remember the angriest we used to get about religion was when the Hare Krishnas got their dance on in town and blocked Friday night shoppers. Do you remember?
Banging their drums,
Hare, Hare. And, you'd get a feed across keys for $3, but little Tubbs Barnett didn't stand a chance. I think you're pushing it uphill when you look and sound like a ventriloquist dummy, little guy.
All right, it sounds like I don't really want to talk about WA. Did you watch I'm a Celebrity Get Me Out of Here last night?
The final. Katie Donovan is a worthy winner. Of course I watched. She's a terrific woman, massive unit, and I'm a Celebrity Get Me Out of Here. Good on her. She, of course, won Oz Idol back in 2004, and so with a reality TV win every 13 years, she'll probably take out the 2030 edition of The Block. What will they be doing in 2030? Building yurts for a bunch of squawking Gen Ys? Or maybe MKR 2030? How thin, tanned, and weird will Pete Evans be by 2030? He'll be living on the I'm a Celebrity, Get Me Out of Here maggot diet. Will there still be TV in 2030? I know the ABC will be gone. I will have crushed it by then.
So, Rich Uncle Mal, what have you got planned for the week?
Well, Robin, I'm glad you asked. Does anyone really care what I do? I'll be going around in the Bentley waving at people and glad handling some small business people. Listen, I'm still trying to crush the poor and the old. We're thinking of putting a ceiling on ageing. Remember when the old Labrador became too flatulent and Dad would say he's gone to live on the farm?
Yep. Yes.
Well, we're thinking of doing the same thing with old people. Just open season. Could actually replace duck season. Wow. That'd make the shooters and Peter happy, of course, won't it? I don't know what you do to people so long as you don't touch the animals. Before I go today, I'd just like to say that Triple M rocks Woolloongabba right there in the middle. And congratulations to the Brisbane Lion Girls who are in the grand final of the AFLW. Terrific stuff, really.
Thank you, Rich Uncle Mal, the PM. We will speak to you soon.
You're great constituents and wonderful guys.
Hey, can I run some figures by you and you tell me what they mean? Listen to this about apprenticeships. There's a real decline in people, in guys and girls taking up apprenticeships, okay? In June 2016, there were 282,000 apprentices across the country. Down 45% from June 2012. So in 4 years, it almost halved, let's say, the number of apprentices. I was talking about this with some of my senior tradesmen friends, and none of us have got apprentices anymore.
Is it because you don't want them?
Oh, okay. It's obviously... this is amazing because I saw a story 2 weeks ago going, there ain't going to be any apprentices and enough apprentices to go around in a few years' time, yet no young blokes want to do it anymore. I've got an apprentice electrician living with us at the moment, started only 2 weeks ago, and my son is about to start, well, he's landscaping now, but about to start being an apprentice boilermaker, welder.
Yep.
What's going on? Is it too hard? That's my worry. Is it too hard to be a tradesman? Like, let me ask you this, work.
Marto, it seems as though, and you know, we generalize a little bit about this generation that's sort of coming of age now, is that the hard work isn't their favorite thing in the world.
Yeah.
So, as what you've seen on building sites around the place, and as you're getting back into building now, is it just that it takes too long? 4 years on what, $12 an hour? Just
well,
is not...
I think it's $12.50 at the moment, first year, well, and then it goes up a little bit. You don't, but I remember having apprentices. You don't make any money out of the buggers until they're in their third year because you've got to fix their mistakes. Well, virtually in the first year or so, you can't get much out of them apart from digging holes and sweeping. And it's not until the third year that you actually, yeah, you can trust them to do anything.
But so there's a disconnect in my head about the fact that they are actually still getting paid. So you think about all the ones going to uni, they've got a hex debt.
I tell you what, just between true. You and me, you know, I'm not saying it's good or bad. Well, I am thinking it's good. There's still possibilities to make cash. If I was trying to tell a young bloke, and I have told these young blokes, you do a bit of work on a Saturday or whatever, and you can do work for beer or work for cash or whatever. Cashy. It's still a wonderful, wonderful life if you can
now,
stand the hard work.
The GST,
maybe.
We all know that the GST was brought in to stop the cash economy, and it did. So you must be lying because we know that that was the whole justification right. for the GST, and the cash economy hasn't existed for 15 years.
No, that's right. Sorry, I am incorrect.
Okay,
I am
correct.
Wink.
Okay. Just as He's you're winking. Driving along, boys, just nod your heads.
Is it too hard? Come on, let's go. Why less apprentices?
But it's always been this hard. It's always been you've been treated poorly. Surely you're getting treated better than ever. Like, they get their own uniforms usually, high-vis uniforms. Oh,
great.
Warren from Cooper's Plains, what do you reckon?
Oh, mate, look, I don't know what it is with today's youth, but I said I'll be looking for 18 months for a new apprentice. I can't find one that's willing to work, turn up on time. It just and get off his phone and so on. And like the last guy that finished up with me, he turns around and goes, "Oh, look, work's getting in the way of my social life." And I'm like, "Are you serious, Sunshine? That's life."
What are you after, Warren? What trade?
Fridgey.
Fridge mechanic.
I'm offering someone a job for life, great money, because you never, no matter what happens in the future, there's always going to need refrigeration, air conditioning in every home.
Let's remember that. Warren's job cannot be replaced. What if I was a young bloke now, Warren, you might agree with me, I'd be looking at a job where you can't get replaced by a robot.
No, and the problem is too for us, is plumbers and sparkies will look at the Holy Grail and then they look at us as going, "Oh, we can't get an apprenticeship in one of those. Oh, well, this will do." And it can't be a this will do thing. You've got to be passionate about it. And do you also know that for every year, for every 2.5 tradies that retire, there's only one coming in to start their apprenticeship. And for all the kids that are starting apprenticeships, only on average, only half are actually completing their apprenticeship. So in 10 years' time, it's going to be basically, we're going to be probably as wanted as doctors.
Wow. So, okay, so
Happy
just
days,
put it out
Wazza.
There. You're after a young fella who's willing or a young girl who's willing to just do the time. You want someone right now?
Yeah, absolutely. Something turn up on time. You know, just show that enthusiasm, get into it, be flexible. And, you know, you work your backside off and you're going to end up with the reward at the end of the day. You'll be in your own company vehicle within 12 months. You'll have a year to drive around in, you know. So, you know, the offer's there, but you try and find somebody, kidding me.
How much is the first year apprentice Fridgey on? Is it $12.50 an hour or something?
It's roughly about $13 on award, but no one ever pays award.
Yeah, they're still ahead of their
more the right person. So.
They're still ahead of their mates doing all the dud degrees at university.
Absolutely. When I was an apprentice, this is 20 years ago, I was taking home $95 a week.
Yep.
And that was including overtime. And yet I still managed to save my first car, pay cash for it, and everything else. And, you know, there's so many options out there for you. And even if you don't stick with it, it's a great base to move on to other things.
We'll keep Warren. Your number, Warren, because maybe someone might be listening and hear what you're saying and want to work for you.
Who has an actual good kid?
Yeah, who wants
there's
to,
always
so just hang on, Warren.
Kids. There's a plenty of good ones. Mate, even when I was employing apprentices, occasionally you had to ditch one, but there's some beauties around.
Jaden from Springfield Lakes. Jaden, you're 22, mate, and are you a tradie?
Yeah, mate. Yeah, I'm a tradie in the army, so I'm lucky enough to have a pretty solid pay.
Okay.
But I reckon one of the main reasons why we don't see many tradies at the moment is because the Abbott government took away the tradies' tool allowances in 2014.
Has that gone? Has it? It used to be $600 or something.
Oh, it used to be like $5,000.
Oh.
But do you know what else, Jaden? And I say this because my son's in year 12, is that it's just not pitched as something for kids to do. And they certainly within their peer group don't necessarily think it's kind of trendy anymore.
It's not cool.
It's not a cool thing to do.
$5,000 goes a long way, especially if you're on a small wage like that.
Fair enough.
I didn't know they'd taken that away. God, that is big.
Hey, if you do it in the Army, Jaden, doesn't the Army pay for your apprenticeship or something? Isn't that they have some scheme where if you go in, then they train you up?
Yeah, they pay you to do the apprenticeship, It takes about 3 years, so I'm an electronics technician in the Army, so I repair night vision equipment and radios and stuff.
All right, you repair the night vision goggles.
So how much do you get paid, can we ask? Like, is it a good fee?
I've completed my training, so I'm on about $70,000.
Good on you, Jaden. You're a catch. What's your story, Jaden? You're single? What's happening?
No, I'm taken, unfortunately.
Nah, you're an old soul, Jaden. You're an old soul.
Yeah, 22. Okay.
Good on you, Jaden.
Chooky of Bucken.
How are you guys?
Yeah, why? Is it too hard for him, Chooky?
I've been ceramic tiling for over 35 years. Oh, I've had God. Three apprentices that have been mine indentured to me.
Yeah.
Not a group training scheme. Hard points. Number one, they don't want to work. They think they're worth more money.
Mm-hmm.
Number two, as a small business, it's sometimes hard to make a commitment to take on a young fella for that 4 years.
Yeah, you don't know whether you're always going to have work.
Or you go to a group training scheme and they're too dear. I had a first-year apprentice last year. It was $25 an hour. You can get a tradie for 35 to 40 who knows what he's doing. This young kid at 16 didn't have a license, so he couldn't get to and from work and was flat-out sweeping the floor. $25 an hour.
Yeah.
So does that mean, Chooky, that it's just better for you not to have apprentices?
At the moment, I'm working with another tiler, and it's too expensive to have an apprentice to take one on as a smaller business and train them up.
Well, the reason you use the training schemes, the apprentice training schemes, is because they do all the paperwork and then administration, but then it costs you so bloody much money.
There's not a lot of administration involved in an apprentice, really, when you think about it. I don't know why they are, because you're going to pay all their office staff and all their training, stuff like that.
Yeah.
And as regarding the tool allowance, someone mentioned a while back, son is a third-year Sparky apprentice.
Yeah.
He just missed out on the scheme he was in for getting his tool allowance, and one of the reasons was that the kids were abusing the money. When he went to college, a guy had the best set of rims on his hunk of junk little car because he uses tool allowance for new wheels.
Righto.
Yeah, I know. I know, Chooky. That's always the problem with these government things, though. But if you look, any government program that supplies money is open to a bit of rorting. I mean, look at the travel expenses for the politicians. I mean, that's not meant to be used for what they use it for. Thank you, Chooky. Aidan from Fairfield. Now, you're an apprentice, Aidan, the first actual apprentice we've spoken to.
Yeah, I'm a second-year Sparky with Jazz Electrical.
All right, mate. And?
The reason there's not as many apprentices, mate, isn't that they're not pushing it through schools. They're pushing it through, like, no tomorrow. You can go do trade taster courses in grade 10. You try out three different trades.
Yeah.
They offer Prevo courses, which is what I did in grade 10, so that you can jump straight into a trade as you get out of school. But the reason is, like, they don't want to do the work. They don't want to. Like, I get up and drive an hour to Griffin every day from Fairfield, work my 8 hours and go home. But no one wants to do it for the money that you get. And when you can go online and do a $24 RSA course, go work in a nightclub, see all your friends out, give them drinks, get half-price drinks when you're not working, and you get $25-26 an hour just for doing that.
Yeah, so you are a smart young fella, Aidan. How old are you?
I'm 19, mate.
You're having a look down the track, aren't you? Did you hear that bloke before? Oh, what was that guy's name? Who was talking about in 10 years' time, do you understand what's going to happen here?
No, I didn't. I was on hold waiting to talk to you.
Well, what's going to happen is there ain't going to be any tradesmen, so therefore you can ask whatever you want in terms of money. You'll ask an incredible hourly rate because there won't be many of you.
No, it will. Hopefully. I'll still be with Jazz at that point as well. So
it'll be worth it, mate.
Yeah. And in air conditioning too. That's never going to go out of style.
Well, the plugs you've given them, you're definitely going to be there.
And all those people in the nightclubs will all be old and wrinkly by then.
Greg at Redcliffe, what do you reckon about apprentices?
Yeah, guys. It's all well and good for the young guys not to want to earn an apprenticeship or want to work hard or whatnot, but employers aren't looking for anyone over the age of 15, 16. So there's a lot of guys my age, myself included, that looked, and we looked for a long time, but because we were going to cost, you know, that $17 or $18 for a first year, didn't even get a look in.
Greg, I started my apprenticeship when I was 25.
Yep.
On $190 a week. She was hard work, but that's the thing. I reckon if you get a mature age, you've got a beauty because he or she has made up a decision. That's what they want to do, correct?
Exactly right, and that's what I tried to push. But, you know, it was just that extra $3 or $4 an hour they didn't want to pay. It would have been longer than my apprenticeship. I tried to find one. It's now at the point where I've got mortgage and all that. I can't afford to go back to it. But I know a lot of guys, like I'm from the Gold Coast, I'm just working in Redcliffe today, that same situation, and they can't afford to drive up to Brisbane or whatever now because mortgage, kids, all the rest of it. Mm-hmm. But when they were 22, 23, 24, 25, they would have.
It's a fair enough point. It is a fair enough point.
There's still money in trades, I'll tell you right now, and there will be. You can't get replaced by a robot. That's the bottom line.
Marto, Ed and Robin on the new Triple M.
Guys, yesterday we were speaking about a story that was doing the rounds where if you didn't own your house and you were getting close to retirement, that you were going to need $1 million. $1 million to try and have a comfortable life in retirement. We kicked it around a little bit and then we're scratching our heads yesterday afternoon going, really, is that the... No, that can't be right. So rather than us bash it out and not know what we're talking about, we've gone to the expert, our favourite bloke, Channel 9's money man, Ross Greenwood. Ross, how much money do you need to retire, mate?
Well, it depends on how much you're going to spend, doesn't it, really? I mean, that's what it comes down to and what your lifestyle is like. Now, if you're going to take... several overseas trips a year, guess what? The money's going to run out real fast. If you're going to sit at home and basically shop frugally and not go out terribly much, the money's going to last longer. But here's a rough rule of thumb. I've got a few rough rules of thumb for you. If you really want to have a very comfortable retirement, take your income today. The average income in Australia is about, give or take, $80,000. That's the median. So let's say, for example, you're on $60,000 a year. Yeah. To retire today, you would need about seven times that amount of money and probably a family home as well. So that's about $420,000 plus a family home. Right. So it's a decent wedge of money. So the $1 million ain't far off the mark, if you think about it from that point of view, if you don't have the family home. Now, the other side of this also is that there's a few other rules of thumb. I've always said if you want to be really comfortable, if you want to know you're truly rich, in your life, while you're working, you've got to try and see if you can own outright, no debt, four homes.
Wow.
Now, if you think the average home is worth about...
That's rich.
$500,000 a piece, you're talking $2 million. But if you've got that, here's the theory. This is how you know when you're really well off. You live in one home, you rent out two houses, and you live off the income of those two houses, and the third house, the income from that house, the rent from that house, you basically pay your tax bill. And that gives you enough money. You're out of the government's hair, you're out of everybody's hair. So that is the sort of thing that a person should aim for during life. Of course, most people don't make it. And so a lot of people end up basically living on an age pension. Now, just to give you a small hint, the age pension right now, if you're a couple and you do qualify because your assets basically at the moment are under around $375,000. So in other words, you might have a home plus you've got less than $375,000. The government gives you, together as a couple, close on $31,000 a year. If you're a single and you own that home, you get around $19,200 a year. Jeez. Now, between you and me, for most people earning a good deal more than that, I would suggest that's probably not enough to live off, and that's the reason why you've got to put your head down and try and save and have some assets during your working life.
So should we be talking to our kids about this now? Because, you know, most of us get to our 30s and go, maybe I should start thinking about that super thing that's being paid by my employer. But up until then, you just have a good time.
Hello, I think your parents should be having a quiet chat to you about this right now. Because the truth is, if you think about this, most people go, oh, she'll be right, the parents will die, we'll leave me the money, everything will be sweet. Well, the parents have got a generational issue going on right now because they're going to stay alive much longer than their parents did. And as a result, they're going to need every last dollar. So the prospect of big retirements early in your life are significantly less. So you can't rely on the parents to basically get you out of your debt problems and that, and nor can your children rely on you to get them out of their debt problems. So this is about trying to understand the way in which you're living today and the way in which you're spending today is going to have a profound influence on the way in which you live in 30 years' time. But the problem is nobody knows what 30 years' time is going to be like, and so as a result, they don't care about that.
Ross Greenwood, Channel 9's Money Man, wow, talking about what you need for retirement. He's got a fantastic podcast. Just put Ross Greenwood into your iTunes or your Android and have a listen. You can listen to Ross Greenwood every single day. Mate, thank you so much for those terrifying words.
That was the idea.
See ya.
Thanks, Ross. Okay, I've got a question for you boys in the studio and men in general. It came up on Married at First Sight last night with Simon and Eleni, and they went on their final dates before a decision is made, and Simon being the Ipswich bloke, and he was, you know, taking Eleni out on this beautiful kind of picnic, and he went out on a cruise and she got all dressed up and he was complimenting her and talking about her eyes and her beautiful dress, and he said, oh, you don't need makeup. Now, that coincided with a conversation that I had with my 14-year-old, and he legitimately asked me, Mum, why do girls wear makeup? So my question to you
what was the answer?
Well, I just said because it makes us feel better. I thought it was a dodgy answer. I will give you the tip. I didn't feel like I actually quite satisfied his questioning.
If you don't have to leave the house, do you put makeup on?
Depends what I'm doing. So if I'm going to the soccer, no, because let's face it, I'd have makeup on 24/7.
Oh, so you don't wear makeup to the soccer and you'll see a lot of women, because I believe women do it for women.
Well, I only work with blokes and I've got makeup on.
Yeah, why do you wear makeup?
I kind of see it as a bit of an armour to go to work and to go out into the world. Not that I need to arm myself against you, but it's kind of like a clown putting on a red nose. You just kind of get into the costume of being who you are outside of your own home. But my question to you boys, do you like women with makeup?
I'm always telling my wife, take that off. Take that makeup off. You don't need that, well, doll, don't you? No, less. Come on, no makeup.
I do the same to my daughter. Constantly. She wears too much makeup. She's the modelling courses and all that sort of stuff. So I learn how to put makeup on and then uses too bloody much of it.
So do you like a little bit? What about Kath?
She wears a little bit. Oh, no, sometimes she does, sometimes
she
doesn't.
Yeah, but do you care if she does?
No, not really. No, it's not important at all.
Brendo.
Don't look at me.
Well, you're just about to get married. You care?
Kate's very naturally pretty, so I would sort of prefer her without.
Answer.
Yeah, thanks, man. Thanks very much.
Can you put me down for that answer?
You had an extra 20 seconds to think while she was grilling me.
That's not
fair. Boys, I'm legitimate about this. I really want to know because I wonder if there are guys that like their girls made up.
I'm going to make a prediction, Robin. You're going to put this, let's put it out there, 133353. You watch, I believe we're going to get 100% of men who will ring up and say, no makeup, no makeup, please.
Okay, well then if that's the case, I'd also like to hear from women as to why you do, because I'm still, the jury's a little bit out.
Don't you think women dress for other women and women put makeup on for other women? It's a trick, makeup. It's a complete trick.
What do you mean? It's false advertising?
Yeah.
What, you take it off and you get your left
with, no, but it's a trick. Who's behind it?
But are you not helping your own cause?
Why don't I put a mask on? Like, if that's what you're trying to do, that's what makeup does. I'm completely against it.
Okay.
Well, I know.
Does Tiff wear it? Does your wife, the beautiful Tiffany?
She does when she's sort of going out to do something, and I'm always trying to go, no, you don't need it. Take it off.
And, you know, when she was doing The Biggest Loser, she would have had makeup caked all over her face, TV makeup is hideous.
And she would always say, take a bit off, because she's sweating. She's sweating and running and jumping, so she has to take it off. It's the lights, basically the lights. Okay, Josh from Bean Lee. Thoughts on makeup?
Thoughts on makeup? Chicks don't necessarily need it, but as Robin pointed out, it does probably make themselves feel a bit better about themselves, hide their blemishes, all that sort of stuff. Okay. Personally, my missus doesn't wear it. Well, actually, that's a lie. She wears a little bit of lippy and maybe a tiny bit of foundation, but she's not one of these chicks that goes all out and gets herself all dolled up. But men do it too, but we don't do it with makeup. We do it with beards. You know, we cover a small chin. We cover a bit of acne scar or something like that. Don't personally recommend chicks growing a beard. That's not a good look for them.
Well, it's distinctive.
But it's like having a picture, you know, and then you just do a little bit of shading to it. It just sort of brings out the features and can highlight their strengths. And I personally have no problem with them, except when you take a chick home and the next morning the makeup's rubbed off, and then you're like, where's that sexy chick from last night?
She's probably looking at you, thinking, where's that stud from last night?
Thank you, Josh.
Yeah,
thank you,
good on you, Josh. Amanda of Northgate. Ooh, what do you think about makeup, Amanda?
Look, I personally wear makeup quite a bit. I'm on the way to the gym at the moment, and I've got light foundation on because I've got a bit of slight rosacea, so it just makes me feel a bit more confident.
Oh, okay.
But I think the other thing is a lot of guys will say, oh, look, you know, you don't need to wear that. You look great without it. And then you go out for dinner or you go out somewhere and you can see where their eyes are looking. They're looking at the girl who's made the effort. They're looking at the girl who, you know, has got the makeup on or whatever. So they say one.
Oh, she was going to say they say one thing and do another. And I agree with that. Yeah. I actually do agree with that. Right. No comment, boys?
No, I can understand what she's saying.
No, I know, but do you agree? Do you?
Well, that sort of goes to Marto's theory about she's obviously looking at other women, so it does. When you
a man is looking at other women. Like, yeah. Blokes aren't looking at makeup, ever.
When you walk into a room, Robin, what do you notice about the other women?
I will notice what they're wearing. In fact, it's a really interesting thing to do. When women meet each other, they will make a physical comment. So I like your dress, I like your shoes, your hair looks good, your eyes look great, right? When men meet each other, they walk in and usually say something like, what do you do?
What do you do?
So what's your job?
Oh, not if they're friends.
No. If you're meeting someone, they don't comment about the physicality man to man, but women comment about the physicality of woman to woman.
That's a great observation.
Or we'll talk footy.
Yeah, well, okay.
We'll go real deep and go, what about them Broncos?
Scott of Morrowfield, what do you reckon?
The girlfriend, she only wears makeup if, like, we're going to a wedding or she's going on a girl's night out. That's pretty much it for her. But my 17-year-old daughter,
they don't need it.
She puts makeup on when she gets out of bed. So I don't get it. I really don't get it.
Mine does the same similar thing. She has makeup on most of the bloody day, and she definitely doesn't need it.
No, and she's pretty. My 17-year-old daughter's a pretty girl, so she doesn't need it.
Is it because you reckon it's gotten worse because of all the selfie stuff?
Oh yes.
Yeah, maybe. Yeah. She's always got the phone out doing the duck lips thing. So yeah.
Well, tell her she'll get smoker. What?
The pucker lips.
Pucker lips. Yeah, if she does too many of them.
Do you know there are some women whose partners haven't seen them without makeup? It was much more of a generational thing. Like, it was kind of my mum's generation. But there were, you know, there used to be men that never saw their wives without makeup on because she would go to bed after him and get up before him to make sure that she was presentable.
Wow.
Well, you haven't heard that? You've heard that.
No. Oh. Hadn't even thought about that.
Oh, there you go.
But if it makes you feel good, just do it, right, Robin?
Yeah. Mm.
Yeah.
Oh, there's no judgment here. Mm. Just asking the question.
Yeah, it's all cheating. Like the Wonder Bra, eh? That was cheating.
Don't you have a crack at the Wonder Bra?
You're kidding.
Wonder Bra,
Marto and Robin on the new Triple M.
Claire from the newsroom's joined this morning, Claire, overnight the sentences have been handed down for Sarah Connor and her boyfriend David Taylor involved in the death of a policeman in Bali. So what did they get convicted of? It was quite a strange name
Exactly. So in the Balinese system, it's quite different to here, where here you kind of go up on the one charge and you go through the whole system on, say, a murder charge. Over there, the panel of judges were considering three charges. So you had murder, you had assault leading to death, or group assault leading to death. And that final charge, group assault leading to death, is what they were convicted of.
So is that the lesser of those three?
It's the middle one of the three, if that makes sense.
The middle of the three. It's okay, the so what did she get? What did he get?
So he got the greater sentence, 6 years. So that was because he did admit his partner, as I said yesterday.
But he donged the copper on the head with the beer bottle, which ultimately killed him, yeah?
Sarah was saying that her legal team was saying that she had very little to do with the actual assault and that she only cut some cards up, some identification at a later date. Oh. However, she's been sentenced to 4 years prison because they have determined that she actually held the police officer down whilst the assault occurred.
We donged him.
And what was the evidence? Was there other eyewitnesses that all said, yeah, I saw them do it? Or were they going off there? Remember those recreations that they did? Or what were they calling as evidence?
The problem is, because of how late at night it happened, because it was on such a tourist trip, they couldn't find a lot of witnesses who actually saw it. So it was, and we know this happens with the Balinese system often, it was largely from the reenactments that were done. But
Dave Taylor said he did it, didn't he?
Exactly.
The boyfriend. He said, and did she say, I was involved at all.
She said that the story was that he, David Taylor, approached the police officer under the suspicion that the police officer had stolen Sarah's bag. He then said he did assault the police officer, which Sarah said did happen, but she didn't realise that there'd been a killing. She just walked away and later found the identification.
He didn't die. The problem was the cop didn't die for another 2 hours, and they're saying if you guys hung around and took him to hospital, he may have lived.
Exactly.
But the other, you know, the elephant in the room here is that you get how much for murder and how much for drug trafficking.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. And that's the thing. So the
what does that say about Indo?
Well, the police officer's family, they want, you know, the wife, she wants them to be convicted of murder so that the appeal could go through. This could go back to court, remember. She wants a murder conviction and she wants life, she wants a death sentence.
And in Indonesia, the sentence stands, isn't it? There's not time. I mean, they can take time off for good behaviour if the president deems that to be the case. But as it stands right now, she will do 4 years.
Absolutely. And she may get three. Remember the Independence Day? They let them out on good behaviour at Independence Day over there. She may get it down to 3 years, but at the moment it's 4 years.
But fairly, anything goes in that jail, that Karabokan, whatever it's called.
Karabokan.
Well, however you want to say it. Remember that bloke 2 years ago? He was that Aussie New Zealander guy who wrote a book, I Survived
Karabokan.
Yeah, whatever. he's saying it's the only jail in the world where the inmates actually run the thing. So if you can get your hands on money, you can get prostitutes, you can get drugs, and you can get pizzas.
And Chappelle Corby wrote about that in her book too, remember?
Oh, did you? No, I didn't read Chappelle's.
What's her book? I've never read that.
Was
it her book? I'm sure it was. She spoke about, been talk about paying for getting private rooms and things. Maybe it was Bali 9.
Here it is. In November 2006, Corby released an autobiography.
What?
Called 50 Shades of Karabokan.
That's
it was called My Story. It was called My Story.
Will this Sarah Connor, will she be able to hook up with her boyfriend Dave Taylor in prison? Because it's a dual sex prison.
Well, potentially. And that's where the money comes in. That's where the money comes in over there.
Thank you, Claire.
What a great tale.
Okay, so you guys got yourself sorted for Easter.
Ooh, what do you mean?
Have you had the conversation? What are you doing for Easter? Oh, man, I've been talking about it for about a month.
I know where I'm going.
Oh, where?
All of a sudden I'm going to Sydney to see our daughter.
Oh, there you go.
I and my wife.
Easter's one of those holidays where in my head it always rains. I'm not sure if that's actually true or not, but in my perceptual-wise,
it always rains.
But for the last month, I've been having these kind of discussions with my family and with my girlfriends about what we're going to do for Easter. Now, if you've been looking in the paper in the last couple of days, you would have noticed that they are pushing us to holiday in Australia, something that is wonderful and that they want to keep all the money in our own economy, and I wholeheartedly agree with it. However,
one long weekend a year, they said, would boost our economy tremendously.
Which would be awesome, and so we should. But here is my issue. So in the last month, I've been navigating because a girlfriend of mine has a house up in Noosa, so I wanted to potentially rent a house for that Easter break so I can hang out with her and our kids are friends and do a fun thing. But for me to get a house in Noosa that will sleep six, because it's my kids and my mum and a friend, was going to cost me more than me taking everyone to Fiji. And there lies the problem.
Are we 4,000 or something or other, I'm figuring?
And look, Noosa is the hub, and a lot of Victorians come to Noosa for Easter. There is no question about that.
Yeah, don't go to Noosa. That's the bottom
line. I know, but another girlfriend of mine, I was talking to her about this, and she wanted to fly to Tassie for Easter, did the sums and realised that it was actually better for her to go to Roma.
Hang on, not the one in Italy. The one in Queensland.
No, but you know, this is the problem. Our internal holidaying is actually quite expensive. Like, if you want to go to the places where a lot of people go to, so the Whitsundays, if you want to have a weekend in Melbourne, you want to go to Noosa, those things cost a packet.
Is it only at Easter Day? Like,
no.
I don't go and stay in big hotels, but I'm figuring they're not $159 a night.
No, well, the thing that I've discovered is that it's just that because there are so much accommodation, say, in Bali and so many resorts in Fiji, they can really knock the price down. And particularly as you're going into the cooler months, so Easter and then the June and September holidays, it's just cheaper.
Well, they're labour. It's their labour, isn't it?
I know, but what do you do about that? Because I wholeheartedly want to support the Australian economy, but when it comes to just putting out the bucks, it means us going away or not going away. And, you know, we used to camp, but then when my husband died, I had to give away my camper trailer because I just couldn't do it by myself.
Did you give it away?
I did.
Oh, jeez. Oh.
It was such a cool thing. She was called Dora the Explorer, and she was 1986.
Oh, I wish I was hanging around in those days.
Because I wanted someone to use her. But, yeah, you know, so then you're kind of out of the camping scenario because it's just too hard for me to do it by myself. So you move up to the next level, and then when you do...
Oh.
You start finding that it's actually cheaper to go to Asia.
What you'll
find,
Ed, you might have already been in this world, but when you first get together as a couple, lots of camping, lots of fun, but then often your female partner gets a taste of a hotel and a resort, and that's the end of camping for a lot of people, and that's when things start costing money.
You never went camping, did you?
Yeah, I've been camping once
again,
in my life.
He's a single mother. So it's hard. As you said, it's hard.
You're right.
He didn't do a lot of camping because he had a single mum.
But
yeah, that's right. I once slept in a cardboard box in our backyard in Ashgrove.
That'll do.
We'll count that.
All right. Easter,
and that was free. And you know what? It was free. I was there the whole of Easter and it was absolutely free. Yeah,
what a guy.
That's what I have to do.
Budget camping with Ed Cavalier.
Not a good idea last night to go from Newmarket to Auchenflower just after 7. There was some real
traffic. You went past Bieber.
I would have heard the word Bieber fever about 100 times yesterday and still I didn't think about it. I had to drop something over to my plumbing mate. And I didn't even think about it, but by Jesus, there were some worried-looking, anxious-looking parents hanging around outside. Mums, dads, all the rest of it had just dropped their little baby girls or whatever it was into their first little concert. It was funny as, and you should have heard it. And I came home because I had to hang out at his house. I said, I'm not going. We checked on the internet that it started at 8:15. I said, well, it'll be safe to drive then. Went past Castlemaine Street, you know, that side of Suncorp. Mm-hmm. Just as he must have got on stage, it was like State of Origin on helium balloons. It was really high-pitched squealing. Oh, good Lord. What a night.
Did you see lots of parents?
Mums were just lurking on that corner there. You know, there used to be the ice bar. It's now a rugby clubhouse or something. Mums were everywhere there just grabbing their chins nervously and checking their phones and talking. They were all, it was one of those nights. I've been to I went to... what were those two little girls from Albany Creek?
The Veronicas.
I went to their concert one night and still sat outside with blokes. I've been outside with blokes at One Direction concert when it was on, the one before Suncorp. God.
Well, let's have a chat
to some
people.
I've been the parent. The kids are so excited by this.
Who are in there or out there, like mums or dads who are hanging or people who actually went inside. Because I'd love to hear what it was like.
Double points for dads that have had to sit through.
Ed went to One Direction. He
went to
inside.
One Direction.
That was by choice, though.
Did you go by choice?
Yeah, I love it. I love 1D. Hashtag Team Harry. So what the... So we want to hear about, in particular... And there were a lot of dads at One Direction. A lot of dads at One Direction just wishing that they were somewhere else.
Well, I said I was going to pull up and speak to him. You couldn't pull up anywhere. I've never seen such police presence at any sporting events because normally they're adults. So you just... There were blokes, I could see they were in pubs, but I couldn't stop anywhere. All those bars on Caxton and stuff, they were there.
If you're a parent that had to go to Justin Bieber last night, we'd love to hear from you, mums or dads.
They might have wanted to go. Like, okay, Beliebers can be over 20. I'm just saying. Yeah. They might be a rare breed, but they do exist.
He's been around for a while. We got Jeff from Logan Reserve. Jeff.
I don't like being put on class as a Bieber dad straight up.
Bieber dad.
What did you do, Jeff? Come on, tell us all.
Well, actually, I only just missed out on Marta. I was hanging around me plumber mate, which we could hear
the
music from... Yeah, mate. Yeah,
mate. This is Rocket Man. You know the guy who shoots rockets into the air?
Yes. Are we allowed to say that?
Oh, yeah, maybe not.
Oops, we just
did. Mate, so I know you've got a 16 or 15-year-old daughter. How was it? She must have been so excited.
Mate, this kid spent months working at a chemist part-time to save up $600 to go into the mosh pit.
Oh, my
God. Oh, my God. Was it worth it?
If you ask her, yes, and the way she pumped out of that concert, yes, every cent of it.
Oh, she wasn't one of those ones who slept outside so she could get in early?
No. No, definitely not. No, definitely not.
Not a dad who'd allow that.
No, definitely not. But, when she got in the car, she was like another person. There's something about Bieber. I don't know what he does, but he's good at it.
So you're an approving father of the Biebs then, are you, Jeff?
Not necessarily, no. But you got to let them have their freedom, and that's what she wanted to do, and she has no regrets. She loved it, absolutely loved it.
Is that her first big concert?
No. She's been to a few now, but she actually went there on her own last night, which really surprised me. And she really, really had fun. Yeah, I don't know too many 16-year-olds that would go there on their own, and she just ran amok in the mosh pit, so good luck to her.
She was surrounded by other believers. She was safe. Thank you, Jeff.
Oh, God. $600.
Oh, man, that's a lot
of money. I didn't know that.
Lisa of Greenbank, tell us about Bieber last night.
It was awesome. I'm not a big fan, but I tell you what, he's one talented man. Like, he got on the drums but my ears are still ringing from the girls screaming. And it started at the bus stop at Garden City. Oh, my goodness.
It started, so you guys hopped on and a lot of other people hopped on the bus at Garden City and they screamed the whole way.
Yeah, when we were waiting and waiting, and then the bus turned up.
They screamed.
One bus and about 250 girls ran for it, screaming. 2 hours before the concert. So, yeah, it was. And then we lined up for an hour for a $50 T-shirt.
Oh, Lisa.
See, Lisa, I'm glad you said we, because I was getting slightly concerned you were going on your own. You obviously took your daughter.
No. My daughter's 15th birthday on Sunday. And that was her birthday present. And the first time we bought tickets, they never turned up. And we've gone through so much drama.
Oh, God. How much? And, the tickets? Were the tickets?
I never used that via go-go place. That was the biggest, scariest thing of my life. But we got all the money back. But the tickets never arrived. So I ended up getting some from Gumtree, with my fingers crossed that they would work, and they did.
Hey, Lisa, you're not the only one. You know who else got done by that via go-go?
What?
Bill McDonald.
Oh,
really?
I tell you what, it should be on the current affairs. They are, because it comes up as, when you type in Justin Bieber, it comes up as the official ticket site for him.
Ah.
Yeah.
I've never bought tickets before, so I'm thinking I'm doing the right thing.
Could you imagine you turned up there last night, Lisa, and presented the ticket and they wouldn't let you in?
Mine didn't scan. I was so nervous, but it was because I'd folded it. So, yeah, it all worked out. Thank God. I was just like, oh. But yeah, he was unbelievable. He really was. He was apart from the girl screaming, he was really good. He got on the guitar.
All right.
And he was really sick too. Oh.
They were saying that. They said he's like fluey or something, and he was telling his fans he wasn't very well. But thank you, Lisa. See, Ed, you should have gone. You should have gone.
Yeah, but I bought my tickets off Gumtree, and I knew it was a bit sus when they arrived, and it was just a Snickers wrapper with the word Snickers crossed out and Justin Bieber ticket written underneath.
They don't take that.
So it's still only $1,000 though, so it was worth it.
This rugby league news hasn't been officially released, but the Courier Mail's had it playing a pretty good guessing game about the MCG is going to have State of Origin at it next year. We got time to go through this. So there's two games at Suncorp Stadium this year. We've got two games of Origin this year, correct?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. Well, next year, the live game. So it has to be one of the first two, and they're saying the second game, which will still be live, obviously, because it'll be it'll be 1-0 to one of the teams. The Victorian government will pay, and here's the big one, will pay a seven-figure fee, that's in the millions, to secure the 2018 Queensland versus New South Wales match on the weekend where they have an AFL bye, which means 90-something thousand people will go to the MCG.
You just said weekend. That'd be awesome to have an Origin on a weekend.
That's exactly right. It's got to stop being on the
Wednesday night.
Imagine the extra money. Ed, can we go through the reason this is? It's all about money. The Victorian government, as soon as it seems that's why they're getting them. Because if you get 90,000 people, can we do our best guessing? Would 40,000 of them will travel from interstate? And this is what this is all about, 40,000. Yeah. Now, you think I'll just say it's me. I'll go there with a mate, but if it's because it's Melbourne on a weekend, we'll also take our wives. So it's double the amounts of people. Their wives won't go to the game, but the girls will go shopping.
No problem at all.
This is what
I'm
will
with
happen.
You.
This is enormous. I've done the sums working on, say, 40,000 people going from Brisbane and Sydney. It's worth about $60 million that weekend to the Victorian economy.
What do you think, Ed?
Well, you've just said the key phrase, the Victorian economy. I mean,
Well, shouldn't they pay more than just... Oh, I suppose that is a seven-figure...
It does mean that there is... Isn't it... I know that it's been there a couple of times, 94, and I think there's been other...
2015, it was last there. They've played eight games there now. two
it
of them.
It is great. And the people in Melbourne get mad. You know, they're mad for it because they love sporting events. But
what does it matter? It doesn't matter if it goes to Melbourne because the thing is, when's the last time I haven't been live to an Origin match because it's always so hard to get two tickets and I don't want to just go on my own. I've been for years and I'm happy to watch it on telly. It's only 52,000 people get to watch it at Suncorp anyway.
Let's find out what people think. There is an advantage in the, you know, someone gets two games, one person gets one game. That does affect the series quite a lot and somewhere at a neutral venue. I mean, is it going to be...
But don't you think the city just turns out on Origin night? Like the whole focus, you can almost feel it pulsating from Suncorp Stadium.
Still like that when it's on telly.
No, it's not.
Don't reckon?
No. There's an energy about people leaving work and organising their pizzas and getting their mates together because even if they're watching it on the TV, it's in our hometown and you know someone who's going.
It's the same whether it's in Brisbane or Sydney. If you haven't got a ticket to the game, you treat Origin as the same in Brisbane or Sydney, no matter where it's at.
Well, let's ask.
And this is good because you get to have a travel. Those 52,000 people that you only go here in Brisbane, they'll be the ones going to Melbourne. Next year, the year after, they'll go to Auckland.
I don't think so.
Plus, it's on a year where there'd be two games in New South Wales, so you do get a neutral venue for Queenslanders, so that's not a bad thing.
Should happen every year, one game neutral.
Steve of Deception Bay, what do you reckon about the State of Origin going to Melbourne?
No, they should keep it up here, in New South Wales. I mean, they won't move the Melbourne Cup up here, would they?
That'd be good at Doomben.
At Doomben.
Eagle Farm.
Good point, Steve.
On some Renos.
Yes, that is an excellent point. And all those years when the Lions were good, they would never have dreamt of moving the AFL Grand Final to Brisbane, would they?
No.
Definitely not.
Dez from Camp Hill.
Daz, actually, mate.
Daz. Sorry, bro.
Mate, listen to this. I'm blue till I die, go New South Wales. But you know what? If two more games were going to be played in Brisbane, I still say play it in Queensland because it's State of Origin. It's New South Wales versus Queensland. We're talking about what does it do for their economy. How many people are going to come to Brisbane? How many people are going to go out to the Queensland restaurants? How many people are going to spend in the Queensland shops? I'm not talking just Brisbane. I'm talking about Gold Coast and the surrounds. It does a lot for their economy. State of Origin, New South Wales, Queensland, bugger off. Victoria.
But they might be going to pay a big cash sum up front and therefore hopefully take the benefits later because I get the feeling not a lot of people come from outside of Brisbane when we do have an origin here. They're all snapped up by us living here.
That's because it's all Maroon, but you've got to think that as much as you see all the Maroon, heaps of people are coming from not just Brisbane, but what about the people who are coming from Toowoomba? What about from
Townsville? Yeah, good point. They end up staying in hotels. Yeah, good one.
Exactly. Nice, Jez. Nicole of Manly West, what do you reckon about the State of Origin going to Victoria?
Hi, guys. How are you going?
Good.
That's good. I reckon, it's fine because it's between the, I know it's Queensland, New South Wales, but I'd prefer to keep it in Australia, unlike it going next year over to New Zealand.
Well, that makes more sense to me, Nicole. Nicole, that makes more sense because there's huge support for the NRL in New Zealand, and they're in a battle against rugby over there, of course, for the hearts and minds. To me, New Zealand seems like a more appropriate place than Melbourne.
I understand that, but again, it's another country, so it's not country versus country. You keep it in Australia. It was always state versus state, but I mean, Victoria, you keep it in Australia, I reckon.
Nicole, can I pass one at you? Would you go to, as I was saying before, a lot of blokes will go together and maybe their wives, there'll be groups of four go. Would you be involved in one of those activities?
Definitely.
Right, if I said to you the next year you can go to Adelaide and do a visit to the Clare Valley for a few days afterwards, then the year after that go to Perth. All those stadiums would get chock-a-block and their governments would pay money. Is that acceptable to you for the third game of Origin?
I mean, I've always looked into, I've always loved my State of Origin, but I think, again, keeping it in Australia, I would go over there.
Okay.
Thanks, Nicole.
Fair enough. Alice Springs year.
Blake from Pimpamar. What do you think? The State of Origin going to Melbourne, do you support this idea?
Neutral venues are always nice, but if they're willing to pay for it, why not put it up for an auction and let Dubai buy it? They'll probably have one prince pay $20 million to buy a stadium out.
Super stuff.
That's pretty interesting. If we want Australians to go, surely it has to be in Bali. Game three.
best. Marto, Ed and Robin's Best of Brisbane.
This week.
Markets. Stop it, you. Let me talk. Markets. We are talking markets. And it is all about your favourite markets in Brisbane. So we've been taking nominations. Robin, you told us this morning that you were having a look at the Facebook page, that there was a number of different markets that have been nominated on our Facebook page.
Yeah, and I've been taking calls. And I've been trying to kind of, there was one I'd not heard of because I'm a bit of a market fiend. Mm. So West End markets are up there, Rocklea, Redcliffe, Eat Street markets, of course, so yum.
That's unreal. Mm. My wife used to have a market stand there. Selling barley gear. But ooh. I used to go down there and just keep
an eye on
things.
Hang on, mate. You can't just say the word selling barley gear. You've got to be more specific.
Yeah. Her company's name was Barleylicious.
Yeah, still.
And what did she sell?
She sold pom-pom shorts and shirts with little pom-poms. You know, there's
I love that stuff.
Yeah, we've still got a few boxes at home if you want to come
over. I'll come over and have a look.
Fair bit of stuff we didn't sell.
Jan Powell's Farmer's Market. But the one I didn't know, and I've just Googled it, which came up on Facebook, thanks to Kirsty, is the Twilight Makers Markets.
What do they do? Oh, make that? Art and crafty stuff?
Kind of, yeah. They're at Cleveland at Raby Bay, and they're only on once a month, so the next one's the 25th of
March. We're down in the park
March.
There near the harbour.
Yeah. How good's that? From 4 till 8 once a month.
Give you a dark horse, Ed. This, I've been to the Castledine ones. They're quite good, but the Mount Cravat Markets... They're at the showgrounds there. Not bad.
Oh, yeah, okay. I think I've driven past when they're on.
Yeah, the old Logan Road or whatever.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. Okay, so if you've got a market, are we still taking nominations? Because there are so many.
No, I think that's it. They're the 10. Jimboomba Markets at the school made it in there. So, Tracy, good on you for
nominating. As did Cleveland Markets as well, and they're your finalists.
Okay, so there are 10 up there now. You need to go onto triplem.com.au and start voting. Because that will determine which is Brisbane's
best. That's the key. Remember
market.
Last week? I went out last Saturday and gave the award to Debra Bakery. Who would have thought that a little bakery, I get out there, it was magnificent. Yeah, but it was because everyone voted in that community. So this will be a real community thing as well.
Different markets offering different things as well. We'll speak to some of these markets throughout the week. You said an interesting thing about our Rocklea markets just off air, Marta.
You can get everything you like there.
Everything.
Anything. You can get a fan belt, chisel.
What do I need a fan belt for?
Well, you never know. As long as they sell chutney, then I don't think you can call yourself a market unless you sell some chutney.
It's a great rule. TripleM.com.au. Get voting for Brisbane's best market. We'll announce the winner on Friday. Looking forward to that. We've got to get out of here. We'll catch you tomorrow from 5:30 here on Brisbane's 104.5 Triple M.